Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. That's Stevie Ray Vaughan, late great SRV, bringing us back. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. I hope you check those out and use them to your advantage. Cliff Inico is here. Cliff is an attorney specializing in small business, legal, and tax issues. He's the just a perennial educator and instructor at eBay University, the author of all the important eBay books and others, and more coming out all the time. I encourage you to go to his website and subscribe to his outstanding series of columns that you put out. Cliffy, remind folks how they can find it.
Well, it's called Succeeding in Your Business. The website is succeedinginyourbusiness.com, and you can sign up for what's called an RSS feed, where you have a thing you notice every week. Usually the column comes out Monday morning. And it's an Ann Landers for business owners, basically. People all over the country ask me their strange questions, and either I answer them or I get someone, you know, like you who really knows what they're talking about to answer them. So
check that out, folks, succeedinginyourbusiness.com. All right, so we're talking about what I'm calling nothing less than an assault on businesses. It's more, in my opinion, Cliff, and you can disagree with me if you want to, that's fine. In my opinion, it's another example of the anti-business sentiment that's coming out of Washington, when you've got organizations like the NLRB going after companies and basically trying to rewrite long-held, traditional, almost sacred employee-employer relationships.
Yeah. Well, a lot of franchises right now are shaking in their boots about this. I mean, that's really what's being challenged here, is the whole franchise model. And let's face it, the Labor Relations Board has always been pro-labor. It always tends to lean somewhat left. I don't think that's changed
except
I was a kid.
Except less so during Republican administrations.
Yeah, exactly. It depends on who you appoint. And it's like any of these other government agencies.
I think we should abolish it myself.
Well, probably. But, you know, do we really want to go back to a day with 10-year-old kids working in factories?
No, I don't think I think the NLRB, like unions, have outlived their necessity.
That's a good show for another. It's a good show for another day. But let's talk about the specific thing. What happened, there's a couple of cases right now pending with the NLRB, but the one that has me most nervous, there was a McDonald's franchisee in Virginia that fired basically all of their African American employees. You know, just did a complete house cleaning.
Not a good idea.
And these guys sued for racial discrimination. He said some bad things about them. You know, whatever. You know, but what was interesting is they also sued. They sued the local franchisee, which they have every right to do. But they also sued the McDonald's Corporation in Illinois, or the corporate headquarters. Yeah. On what they call the dual employer doctrine. They said that basically we weren't just employees of this local guy. Because they had to make us wear the same uniforms and do the same things at the same time, McDonald's corporate is just as much responsible for this as the local franchisee, even though McDonald's has very strict policies, as we all know, against racism and discrimination in the workplace.
And no general record of this happening throughout the company like what happened at that one place.
It was not institutionalized. In fact, the strong evidence is that it was just confined to this one guy, this one local franchisee in Virginia. So the NLRB actually sided with the employees on that one and said
big
that
surprise.
They could bring an action against McDonald's corporate because of what the local franchisee did. Now, every franchise agreement, if you ever buy a franchise, one thing I can guarantee, in every franchise agreement I've ever seen, there will be a very long and lengthy clause that says you are an independent contractor of the franchise. You are responsible for everything that happens at your local operation. You know, the franchise company is not responsible. The franchisor is not responsible. And also, too, there's another clause in the agreement that says that you must indemnify the franchise company for any action that takes place, anything that happens on your local turf. If you're not complying with all local health and zoning regulations and stuff like that, you are indemnifying the franchise company, not the other way around. What the NLRB said in this case is that because McDonald's does so much to control the in-store environment. What they're saying here is actually kind of interesting. They're saying that the franchisee in the McDonald's franchise does not control what happens in the store. They cannot dictate the uniforms that the employees wear. They cannot set hours for the employees. They can't. Everything is dictated by the McDonald's operations manual. And they said that
which is what happens when you buy a franchise. That's the purpose of the franchise.
That is the whole
is to cookie
of cut, a franchise,
to cookie
right.
cutter, cookie cutter. So that when you buy a hamburger in Moline, Kansas, it tastes just like the one you bought in Moscow, Russia.
Exactly, precisely. That's exactly right. So it really strikes to the heart of the franchise model, which is the local franchisee is running the business but is using somebody else's playbook. And this has got a lot of franchise people scared. Now, of course, a lot of this is going to be challenged. This is going to be tied up in the courts for a long time, you know. But it's not just the NLRB. When you tie this together with what we talked about on the last segment, the California ruling on Uber, you know, there is a growing war against the so-called, what I call the contract employee, which really doesn't exist. The person that you're treating them like an employee, but you're trying to get away with not paying the employment taxes on them.
Yeah. People shouldn't conflate the two arguments, though.
You think so? You don't think so?
I don't know. I don't think what a small business owner not turning an employee into a contractor is not the same thing as what's going on with the franchises.
Oh, they're different. But the whole concept of what constitutes an independent contractor is being looked at by the government now and being reevaluated. I mean, those rules haven't changed.
And that's the scary part, because this is the same people looking into it, folks, are the same people who just turned the internet into a utility. So that's what frightens me. Tintail, right back with our good friend Cliff Inicoke. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.